Your host tonight is the eating disorder pro, Dr. J. Renee Norton. She comes to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Bengals, the Reds, and of course the Norton Center for Eating Disorders. If you or a loved one is struggling with obesity, anorexia, bulimia, emotional eating, or if you're just worried about food pollution, then you'll want to unhook and tune in.
Good evening and welcome to the Eating Disorder Pro Show. I am the Eating Disorder Pro, Dr. Renee Norton, and I'll be your host this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a great weekend and a great holiday. And we are two-thirds of the way through our New Year's resolutions series. And this evening, what we're going to be talking about is what you can do at home and what you can make yourself to avoid using some of the products that have so many things in them that we want to avoid. So we'll be talking about some butt wipes, and we will be talking about toothpaste. We'll be talking about a face mask that I absolutely love, and so on. So thank you for joining us. Hope that you are having a great week so far. It's Wednesday, and you're midway there, so hang in there. All right, so I think I'm going to start with a little bit of information about why we want to make some of our own home products. And before I say too much more, I just want to mention this concept of a human microbiome. So I have mentioned in previous shows, I talked about the Marshall Project, and I've talked about the vitamin D receptor regulation, and we talked about pathogens in the environment that the human body must deal with on a more or less regular basis. And I don't know whether it's clear or not, but the typical healthy person is inhabited with literally trillions of microbes. And in order to understand the role of these organisms, and they're all over, they're across the body in many different sites, we have to kind of understand that they're there, that they interact on their own. Basically, we are only about 10% human cells, so we are 10 times the number of non-human cells is what we walk around with. This is sort of this is an emerging science, and it's very interesting because it helps us to understand some of the pathological conditions that Americans are experiencing that are causing so many problems. So, for example, we talked a lot about the increase in autoimmune disorders around, especially in this country, around the world, but especially in this country. And what's happening, and we've talked a lot about leaky gut. And so what is happening in a nutshell, and this is a gross oversimplification, by the way, but what's happening is that we were designed to accommodate all of these pathogens. We have cancer cells. We have very serious bacterial cells that we carry around with us, and we're fine. Our bodies can do that. Our bodies can manage all of that. But at some point, there becomes an imbalance. So, like, for example, we've talked about the dysbiosis in the gut or the imbalance in the gut. If the body becomes too unbalanced and the immune system is working too hard, then the infection can take over. And the worst outcome, of course, is that the infection could kill us. But short of that, the infection can take over and make us very sick. So that's something that we definitely want to avoid. One of the problems that we have is that many of our healthcare, hair care, cosmetics contain ingredients that are detrimental to that balance of the microbiome. So what happens, for example, and I'm sure you've all heard this, is that, you know, if you use too many hand sanitizers, what will happen is that you kill the good bacteria, and then the bad bacteria flourish. So that's a bad thing. So we have a recipe for hand sanitizers, for butt wipes that you can use for your baby that are really good for the baby's butt and yours too. And we have other recipes today for other body care products that I think you'll really like. I like them. I think that they're incredibly luxurious. They're really easy to make and something that you definitely want to have. That looks like we already have a caller. Let me pick this caller up. Hello, this is your host. Who are we speaking with, please?
Hi, Dr. Norton. Callie Joe here.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Good to hear your voice. I hope the holidays saw you through and that you had a wonderful holiday and you're healthy.
Yes, I am. I mean, last week I picked up a little bug, but I'm fine now.
Ah, you picked up a bug.
Well, yeah, I was traveling, and so usually when I do get sick, which is rare, it's usually linked to either traveling, you know, on airplanes, or lack of sleep, and I guess my immune system getting weakened.
Well, I don't know if you heard the introduction to the show, but the interesting thing about the microbiome, which is us, basically the human microbiome, is that sometimes when you change, I mean, we have these pathogens that we deal with all the time, that the body does deal with very effectively all the time. But if you change them, so for example, if you're in an airplane and that's just recirculating germs, unfortunately, they change. They change dramatically, and that can set off an imbalance. And especially, you know, if you're on a trip and you're tired, that makes it worse. Or if you're not eating the foods that you normally eat. I don't know about you, but I take a lot of my food with me when I travel, but to the degree that I am forced to eat out or eat foods with companies that don't necessarily provide the best food in the world, I might eat things that I wouldn't normally eat.
Yes, I when I travel, sometimes I do. Well, most of the time I do carry, you know, clean, healthy snacks, especially if it's a cross-country flight. And so I'm not tempted to eat at airports and, you know, and on the plane. So I do a lot of that. This trip, unfortunately, I didn't, you know, pop my Zicam and airborne preemptively.
You have to do that. Well, you know what? Honestly, no, since we're on the subject of the Zicam, just FYI, I'm not taking the Zicam anymore. I just prophylactically take the zinc because that's the main ingredient in the Zicam. And I noticed not too long ago that the Zicam has an MSG ingredient. So I am very disappointed to say that I can no longer. But in general, you're on the right track. Taking the zinc and doing it preemptively, very, very, very important. So this whole thing about the
speaking of those types of supplements, what about colloidal silver?
Really good.
About that?
Yeah, absolutely, that is a very, very good idea. So what got you? What made you? How'd you discover it?
Well, I was in Whole Foods the other day, you know, dealing with whatever upper respiratory bug I had, and the attendant was recommending colloidal silver, either the nasal or the supplement that you put under your tongue. So I got both.
Well, that's great. That's a really good idea, especially so you have it in nasal spray. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The colloidal silver is very healing. It has properties that have been around for, you know, centuries, and it mitigates and calms some of the, or gets rid of some of the infection, but also restores the, if you're using it as a nasal spray, it also can really help the membranes of your nasal passages. So that's a really good thing. That's a good thing that you did. So I don't know if you're very familiar with this whole idea of the microbiome, but it's a fascinating field of study. In fact, researchers have found that although unique, there are all these communities that, you know, are a part of us, and they can actually use these communities of microorganisms to predict characteristics, our own characteristics. So, for example, they can tell whether you were breastfed or not as an infant, and even your level of education could be predicted based on certain microbial communities that they found on your body. Don't you think that's amazing?
Wow.
This is actually an NIH study, by the way. The analysis also showed that microbial communities from varying body sites on the same individual were predictive for others. So for example, people in your family, or there's this fascinating research about gut communities could be predicted by examining the oral cavity. They have no connection with each other, but you could say, if you find this in the mouth, you'll find this in the gut, and vice versa. Same thing with babies. They can tell, they know that the baby's microbiome will change dramatically, even as it comes, especially as it comes through the womb or out the birth canal. And then during the first 3 months of its life, its microbiome will begin to resemble that of its parents. So that's really fascinating when you consider that we look at genetics as being something that's predetermined, and it, according to this area of research, it actually may not be. But anyway, the reason this is important for tonight's show is that we want to make sure that we create an environment that is hostile to the bad pathogens that we are carrying around so they don't get out of control, and an environment that is gentle for the good pathogens. And to that end, I think it's very important and very helpful to know what products you should be using and what products you should be trying to avoid. So what about you? Do you use a fluoride toothpaste?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you and my other listeners a recipe for a toothpaste that does not contain fluoride, but it isn't really just the fluoride that we worry about in the toothpaste. I don't know whether you have ever read the ingredients in toothpaste. Have you ever read the ingredients in your toothpaste?
Yes, and too many things that I don't recognize and probably aren't good for me. But I use it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned fluoride. I mean, my assumption is that fluoride, at least in the amounts and with the toothpaste application, is actually good for tooth health, right?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about that, and actually I'm definitely on the side of it's probably something to avoid. So these days what we are trying to do as much as possible is avoid heavy metals in our systems, and also ingredients such as fluoride that tend to stay in the system and have been shown to be less than helpful. But these are the ingredients in a very, common and generally popular toothpaste. And the ingredients are glycerin, hydrated silica, sodium hexametaphosphate, propylene glycol, PEG-6 water, zinc lactate, trisodium phosphate, flavoring, sodium lauryl sulfate, which is one of the worst ones. I've named several that aren't great, but this is one of the worst ones. Sodium gluconate, carrageenan, which is very dangerous. Sodium saccharin, so they put, sugar. Polyethylene, xanthan gum, an endocrine disruptor, and titanium dioxide. And so one of the metals that we want to make sure that we have as little of as possible would be titanium. Other things that we want to make sure that we have as little as possible, there were only a couple things on the list that weren't really bad for you. So for those of you who want an alternative to brushing your teeth, which, you're not just brushing your teeth, you're also, you're absorbing whatever you're using to brush your teeth into your gums. This is a recipe that I think you will really like. By the way, I get rave reviews from my dentist on my teeth and my gums. What about you, Joe?
Same here. Of course, he also recommends the standard, Crest Colgate type toothpaste.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, what does he know?
But, I mean, I've always had very good oral health, so...
Well, that's good.
Let's not say that I'm not doing damage to myself in other areas. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about coming up with alternatives or different types of personal care products, you know, wipes, sanitizers, or skincare products.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's almost overwhelming thinking it's already difficult to be able to buy clean, healthy food. And now, you know, the whole subject of other personal care items and then, you know, making them yourself just seems kind of daunting. So hopefully you have some easy recipes, if you will, for these things, because it is difficult, especially, you know, when you're really busy to take on the task of creating these things for yourself. So I was hoping that maybe you have some recommendations on any safe products that are out there. You know, I'd rather buy something that avoids the carcinogens and endocrine disruptors or what have you, as opposed to making it myself. But if I have to, I will. But
I do have some products that I think are really good that are out there already. So there is a toothpaste that is Tom's makes a toothpaste that is tea tree oil based. And
what was the name of that brand again?
Tom's, T-O-M-S. And they make a tea tree oil based toothpaste that doesn't have any of the carcinogens or any of the harsh chemicals that say, for example, the Crest does. I highly recommend that one. Tea tree oil, while we're on the subject, is one of my favorite antiseptic, antiviral, antibacterial. I use it in all my household products. It's incredibly good for fighting infection. If my dog gets an ear infection, he doesn't anymore because he doesn't eat the foods that used to cause him to get ear infections. But if he did, I just put a little bit of tea tree oil in his ear and it would go away. It's really good if you have a fever blister, for example. It's really good. It'll make it go away much faster. So, and also as a cleaning product, it's awesome. It is an oil, so it does a really nice job cleaning. It's not so harsh as, say, a vinegar. And it also, again, is an antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral. It's just an all-around exceptionally good cleaner. And I use it actually, so I have a recipe for a hand sanitizer that uses tea tree oil. And there are a lot of products out there that use tea tree oil. Just check for the other ingredients. But I can attest to the Tom's toothpaste. It's a really good one. Now, that would be one thing. Another thing that's very easy is also that you can buy is coconut oil. I was getting ready to say a minute ago that my dentist is always raving about how great my gums are and how nice my teeth are, and I swish coconut oil, like a teaspoon of coconut oil, which is also an antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. I use it, of course, anybody who listens to this show knows that I use it all the time to cook because it's so good for you. So it's really, really good for you to ingest it. By the way, in terms of the microbiome, it really helps to regulate pathogens in the body in general, and in particular in the brain. So it's a very interesting. That isn't why it helps with Alzheimer's in the brain, but it's a very 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 flexible commodity, and we all should have a big jug of coconut oil. My favorite coconut oil is the one from Costco, but as long as it's unrefined. Organic, unrefined, cold pressed, that's the way to go on the coconut oil. So coconut oil is another thing that you can use in a lot of these products, the hair products and in fact, the toothpaste calls for coconut oil. So the thing, I'm going to give you the recipe for the squeezable. This is a squeezable homemade toothpaste. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, and okay. I'm already a coconut convert, so no selling there.
I know, that stuff is awesome. What do you do with your coconut oil?
Oh, saute with it. Use it in place of any kind of oils or well, actually, I do still use butter, real butter, but I can use coconut oil on my popcorn, or I used to eat baked potatoes, not anymore. But if I were to have a baked potato, I would use.
But you could use it on a sweet potato, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. I do eat sweet potatoes now.
I put fourth of a cup of coconut oil in my coffee every morning. That's how dedicated I am to coconut oil.
But I actually do the same. And
really?
I use
good
it.
For you.
Sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. It's good stuff. It's a medium chain fat. It converts almost immediately to energy. It goes straight to the liver. I use it in my coconut bars. I use it in my the recipe that I put up last week for the gluten-free brownies was mostly coconut oil. My fudge is mostly coconut oil. It's just an awesome. I coat my nuts with it. You know, my nuts that I snack on. And it's just an awesome thing. But it's really good as far as a base for this toothpaste is concerned. So we need, and this will be online, by the way. You can go online and just click on the link that you see in front of you right now. And you'll see the recipe and so on, all the recipes for that matter. But it's 5 tablespoons of calcium powder, 3 tablespoons of xylitol powder, 4 tablespoons of coconut oil at room temperature, 1 tablespoon of organic baking soda, that's optional, 2 tablespoons of bentonite clay, or you can just use more calcium powder if you've got that, 3 tablespoons of distilled water, or slightly more if you need it to thin this, and 30 drops of essential oils. Like you could use peppermint. I use cinnamon. I don't like peppermint. I use cinnamon. And 20 to 30 drops of trace minerals, and that's optional too. But I put the trace minerals in. I think that's a really good idea. And then what you want to do, you need to go to like a travel place or a section, you know, in a Target or something where they sell all the travel stuff. And there are these really nice, very soft BPA, really like spongy tubes. And it has a wide, you screw off the cap and it has a wide opening then, and you can smash the toothpaste into that and then you can squirt it out onto your toothbrush. So that
okay,
is
so you went through that list pretty fast. I didn't quite get everything, but is it posted on your website?
Yeah. I just said you can click on the link that's right there in front of you. You'll see the link for the squeezable homemade toothpaste. Okay, so it's right there. So just click on that link and it's all there. Also, the instructions are there. So you're just basically going to mix the ingredients in a little food processor. You have to mix them pretty well to get them to incorporate. And then once they're smooth, you just add the bentonite clay. You mix that by hand, and you can't use a metal spoon. You don't want to ever use a – you always want to use a plastic or a wooden spoon because the bentonite doesn't want to come in contact with the metal. And then, like I said, you use one of those BPA really soft little go tubes. They're the perfect thing for this toothpaste. So that's basically it for the toothpaste.
Appreciate it. That is my tip for the day.
Yes. Now, another thing that you need to know about, Joe, this is really important for you, especially when you're traveling or if you're dealing with any kind of infection, is lavender. So lavender is probably one of the most important essential oils. Actually, it's an herb. I shouldn't say it's not an oil. It's an herb, but we make it into an oil. So it comes in many forms, actually. It comes as an herb. It comes as an essential oil. That's the form I most like me to use it in. It comes as a tea. Let's see, you can get lavender flowers. So it really comes in many different forms. But the beauty of lavender is that it's been known to be an antidepressant, an analgesic, an antiseptic, an expectorant. So it really does have a lot of different uses. It is my favorite. It's what I use in my butt wipes, which I'm going to give you the recipe for that in just a minute, or baby wipes. Well, you know, I don't know what else to call them. I mean, they're wipes, but I mean, you can wipe a lot of stuff. So I think just getting right to the heart of it, calling a spade is the way to go, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the recipe for the hand sanitizer is a little bit of witch hazel. So you're going to take a fourth of a cup of aloe vera gel, a half a teaspoon of glycerin, a teaspoon of witch hazel, and you put those in a small bowl. Then you're going to add 10 drops of cinnamon. You're going to add 10 drops of tea tree oil. And then you could, if you wanted other oils in there, like lemongrass or orange, for sure I would put the lavender in there. That's where I put the lavender. Then you're going to mix this well. You're going to add distilled water or your colloidal ionic silver water to thin it to the desired consistency. And then you can add other oils if you want to, but I like those oils. I like a little bit of lavender. And I like the tea tree oil. The tea tree oil has an interesting smell. It smells really clean. Some people don't like it, but I think it smells really good. Okay, so then you're just going to mix these well, put them in a little medicine dropper bottle. You can get the medicine droppers at pharmacies and Whole Foods has really cool ones. I'm sure you can find them in any health food store and shake them up. And then you just use a little bit of this. The lavender causes it to be very relaxing. I find it's wonderful to put a few drops on my feet. I use it right before I go to bed on my feet, and then I keep it in the bathroom and use it just to sanitize my hands. It's so much better than using any of the sanitation gels that we have on the market, and so much better for you. So, Joe, another...
This is both for hand sanitizing, and it's also, you said, as a tushy wipe or a butt wipe, right?
That's not right. No, it's a hand sanitizer and a foot massage thingy, a foot massage thing. No, I haven't gotten to the butt wipes yet.
Oh, I thought you were, okay.
No, haven't done the butt wipes yet. We're getting to the butt wipes. Try to keep up, Joe. okay, so for the... let's see, where was I? Oh, I was going to mention to you, Joe, another product that you can just buy online that I really like, and I like all of his products, are Dr. Ron's Ultra Pure, and he has a shampoo. I haven't made my own shampoo yet. Actually, I don't use shampoo. So what I use instead of shampoo is a little bit of coconut vinegar. I just use maybe a capful or so in about 2 cups of warm water. And that's it. I don't use any shampoos. My scalp is really, really sensitive. And I find it. And then I do use Dr. Ron's Ultra Pure MSM, which is methyl sulfonylmethane. I do use his conditioner after I use the vinegar, and I get a really nice result with that. So I would highly recommend that to anybody who's got any kind of dandruff or any kind of itchy scalp or any problems with their scalp. This is a very gentle way to manage that. I find that even the gentlest shampoos are still too harsh for my head. So I think I would highly recommend this. I think it's a great way to go. Okay, you with me so far?
I'm up to speed now.
All right. Thank heavens. Okay, so let's see. I'm looking for the butt wipe recipe. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm having a hard time for some reason finding it. Okay, so hang on a second. Okay, this is where my...
What do you use for the paper itself? I mean, is it a flushable material?
Yes. And so what you do is you take a roll of Bounty paper towels, and you need a serrated knife, and you cut the paper towels in half, and then you are going to... you're going to take the, you know, the little roll in the middle. You're going to pull that out. And when you pull it out, you're going to pull the first piece of paper towel out from the middle. And then that's perfect because that's going to start your roll. And from there, they all just pull out, and then you just, they are serrated, and so you just cut them off where they are serrated. Does that make sense? And there are
yes, but you said cut them in half, so the squares are going to be half of a normal sheet or half of the, you know, smaller selected size sheet, because bounty is normally not flushable, but I guess you're saying.
Well, because you are, it's normally not flushable because it hasn't been saturated in water and witch hazel and oil. But it is under these circumstances. It doesn't seem to be any problem at all as far as being flushable is concerned.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay, so Joe, this is what we need. One roll of heavy duty, I say bounty paper towels. No art on the towels, though. No, we don't want any, you know, dyes on the towels or anything. So just the plain white. I don't know. Does Bounty even put dye on its towels? I don't remember seeing any for a long time.
Yes, but there are decorated towels for different seasons and what have you.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want that. We just want the plain white ones. And then you're going to need a container. And I just got this little round, like, container. It's so cute. You'll see a picture of it on the website if you click on the URL for this one. And it's just a little round box. It's the perfect size. I put two baggies in there and then just cut the edges a little bit to keep the water from soaking into the box, because it is basically a cardboard box. You could use a plastic shoe box. You could use an old coffee container. You could use an empty ice cream container as long as it's coated. But if you can find something that's either plastic, or I think this is like a perfect solution. You could probably buy one of these little boxes. They're just little gift boxes, basically, and just have to line it with the plastic food saver bags. Then we're going to need 1 3/4 cups of boiled water, or you can just use distilled water. Of course, you have to cool it down. You just want it to be warm when you start this process. You could use regular water if you wanted to, but I wouldn't. Because eventually the water is going to have, pathogens in it and they will eventually grow. So I would just go ahead and either use distilled water or use boiled water. 1 tablespoon of pure aloe vera. I prefer, of course, the organic one. 1 tablespoon of pure witch hazel extract. 2 tablespoons of liquid Castile soap. I use Dr. Bronner's. I think that's like the best that you can get. 10 drops of grapefruit seed extract or 2 capsules of vitamin E. That's what I used. Well, actually, I have vitamin E, liquid vitamin E, so I just put about 6 drops of the liquid vitamin E in my recipe. And then 1 tablespoon of almond oil. And you could, if you don't have almond oil, you could substitute olive oil. And then, of course, I used 6 drops of my favorite lavender oil. But you could use any essential oil that you want to use. So basically, you cut the, like I said, you saw the paper towel roll in half. If you're using a plastic shoe box or an old, you could also use an old wipe container. I forgot to say that, but you could use an old wipe retainer. So depending upon what you're doing, if you're using a flat one, then you have to fold it. But if you're using a round one that stands up, then you can just sit it right in there, which is why I like that version so much. So in a bowl or in a quart-sized jar mix, water, aloe, witch hazel, Castile soap, the vitamin E, and the oil, and stir. Then you add the essential oils, stir some more, and then you just basically pour that mixture over the paper towels and you let it absorb. Now, if it's too watery, you can leave the lid off and just pull a piece out, and it'll dry out a little bit. If it's so, you'll get the first batch I made was too watery, and the second batch I made, I knew not to put quite so much water in. So you want to just saturate your paper towels, but you don't want them to be dripping. It's not a big deal if they are dripping. So if they are dripping, you know, you can wring it out when you pull it off the when you pull it out, you can just wring it out a little bit, or you can, you know, you can wipe your hands off with it before you wipe. These are awesome for babies if you are using them in between diaper changes. These are awesome for babies, but they're also awesome for your butt. So wipe your butt and do it with something that doesn't hurt your butt is my philosophy. You could also make a reusable version of this, but I haven't tried that and I don't really have too much experience with that.
Well, Dr. Norton, I think you've outdone yourself this week. I mean, what other show can you get a toothpaste and a butt wipe recipe all in the same place?
Well, thank you. I appreciate your feedback. Hopefully not too many other shows. But just so you know, what your Pampers have in them is disodium EDTA, xanthan, caprylic triglyceride, PEG-4, not good, hydrogenated castor oil, should have put castor oil in there, benzyl alcohol, isopropylene butycarbonate, mate, sodium hydromethylene glycinate, and citric acid, and then, of course, a fragrance, which is MSG. So that's not good. That can't be good for the baby's butt, right?
And no, you said that's in Pampers?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Or the Pampers wipe.
Those are for the Pampers Clean and Go wipes. Clean and Go wipes.
Not the diapers. Okay.
Yeah, the Pampers Clean and Go wipes. And then the Huggies Cucumber and Green Tea wipes aren't much better. It sounds so good, doesn't it? Cucumber and green tea? That sounds like it's so good for your baby's butt, right?
It sure does.
Yeah, but it's not. So try making your own. It's really fun. It's really good for them. And you know, it's really pretty cheap. I mean, the ingredients will last you forever. When you buy these ingredients, you could probably make 10 batches of this stuff. So it's not expensive at all. And it's, you know, it's a half a roll of paper towels each time. And for me, I'm the only person living here. So for me, that half a roll of paper towels lasts about 2 weeks. So that's not bad. Any questions?
Well, no, I think you've added enough to my to-do list here. That'll keep me busy for a while.
At least
until next week's show.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. It's good to hear your voice. Thank you. We appreciate having you.
Likewise, and I appreciate what you do. And we'll talk next time.
All right, take care. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so a few other things that we are going to be doing. So we've done just a couple other things I wanted to mention. I mentioned the coconut oil. I mentioned the tea tree oil, which I think is just really awesome. Besides the coconut oil and the tea tree oil, another thing for keeping your teeth really clean, that's people's New Year's resolution. I want to get my teeth in better shape. I use an electric toothbrush and a water pick. And I really think that it's the electric toothbrush and the water pick that I've tried. I mean, of course, I have always flossed, but I never found that to work nearly as well as the electric water pick. You can brush your teeth and then, really use a good toothbrush, brush your teeth, use an electric toothbrush, brush your teeth, really, really brush them like you're supposed to brush them, you know, and use that electric water pick and you get all this stuff that comes out. I mean, it's gross. Well, it actually makes me feel really good that I'm getting that stuff out of my teeth. But that stuff was in there, and it wasn't coming out because I just got done brushing my teeth, right? So that's just something I think really important to keep in mind. I think that, of course, flossing is a very good thing, but I don't think you can get everything out flossing either. Another thing that I think is a really important cleaning or keeping the place clean is making sure that the dog and or the cat is getting the best effort you can give it as far as staying clean. So using a shampoo on your dog that has a little bit of tea tree oil in it, or that might even be a place to make your own shampoo, is a really good thing. I find that keeping his ears clean, as well as I use a tea tree based toothpaste for him. And I mean, he has perfect teeth. He's like a very, very healthy dog. That's just something to consider for your pets. They also using tea tree oil and/or vinegar when you clean their bowls is also a very good thing. And that brings me to the topic of vinegar. Vinegar is an amazing antiviral, antifungal cleaning agent. We don't really necessarily always think of it that way. Lemon, vinegar, really good things to put into cleaning compositions or the things that you use to clean. Vinegar is great on glass, so if you can use it as part of your glass cleaner. Tea tree oil is really nice for cleaning countertops and surfaces like that. It does a really great job of keeping those things very, very clean without killing the bad bacteria. It's much better than bleach, I think. I think the bleach can be very harsh, and plus it has a terrible smell, and you don't really want to be breathing that in when you're cleaning. So these things, I think, are safer and work better. There is a company that most of the cleaning products that itself are tea tree oil based. It's the Melaleuca company. But there are also a lot of other products on the market these days, pardon me, that are tea tree oil based. Tea tree oil is a wonderful, it comes in a salve form. Just make sure it isn't petroleum based. Make sure that it is beeswax based. Comes in a salve form. It's an amazing healer. So if you have a cut, it gets better so much faster if you put the tea tree oil on it. Don't put an antibiotic on it. That isn't really good for you. We have too many antibiotics. We overuse antibiotics. Again, the antibiotics kill the good and the bad bacteria. And so we want to try to stay away from them as much as possible. Let's see, what else are we going to do? Back to the coconut oil, which is like the tea tree oil, really, really good for both keeping things disinfected and keeping the microbes at bay that we want to keep at bay, but also a very good softening agent. So you can put some on your heels if they get a little bit dry in the winter, and put some socks on for a couple of hours, and you'll find a tremendous softening agent. Coconut oil is not good for all hair types, but it's very good for some hair types. And what you have to be careful of is you want to make sure that your hair is wet and warm, and that you don't leave it on long enough for your hair to get cold. Because coconut oil, when it gets cold, it hardens, and it can actually break your hair if you apply it to your hair, especially if you use a lot of it and you don't keep it moistened. If it dries out, let's say you put it on your head before you go to bed at night and you leave it on all night, that's actually not a good idea unless you wrap it with a warm towel, unless you want your hair to stay basically kind of warm and wet all night, which most of us wouldn't want to do that. So what I would recommend is wetting your hair with warm water, melting the coconut oil just a little bit, or letting it come to room temperature so that it's in a more liquid form, slathering it on your hair, letting it go into your scalp, because it can be very good for your scalp as well. It's good for your skin. And then rinsing it out in a couple of hours before it gets cold and becomes brittle. That's another, just a really good tip. It's also really good for if you have some inflammation, skin inflammations. The coconut oil is also really good in general. It's very soothing. Used all over the world to treat illness or to treat skin conditions, and does a good job of that. Okay, I think, one more thing. My favorite, my absolute favorite newest thing is my papaya and pineapple face mask. This stuff is amazing. So I have been going to an esthetologist once a month for years. just to get my, you know, just to clog my pores and work on my face and, you know, just to keep my skin as healthy as possible. And she kept, and the, most recently in the last year, she's been using this papaya and pineapple thing. And I loved the look I got afterwards. Is really dewy looking. And she, so you put it on, she would put it on and then just keep rubbing it. And my skin would just start to slough off. I could feel it. You could just feel the skin sloughing off. Anyway, I wanted to do it myself. I went online. I found a recipe. Well, I found a company that sells it first, and I bought some of it, and it didn't really work. It didn't do the same thing. It didn't slough off any of the dead skin. So then I decided I can do this myself. I found a recipe. It's so simple. It's just one part papaya, one part pineapple. I usually use about 2/3 of a cup of each, and organic, of course. And then about 1/4 of a cup of aloe vera gel. Put that in a food processor. Just process the heck out of it and put it in a mason jar and keep it covered. Keep it in the refrigerator, of course. You put it on your face. I put it all over my body. I put it on all over my body and sit in front of my near-infrared sauna, which I talked about a couple weeks ago with Wendy Myers. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that show. But the combination between the near-infrared sauna, which is another thing that gets rid of, it kills really bad bacteria that are hard to get at because it goes beneath the surface of the skin. So this is another way of managing bacteria in the microbiome. But the combination of the near-infrared sauna, the heat from that, which opens up your pores in a really awesome way, and the papaya and pineapple mask is amazing. I'm telling you, I don't have a wrinkle left on my face. I could not be happier with the results. And this is so simple. Papaya and pineapple and a little bit of aloe vera gel. And you have this mask that you would pay $100 to get the same effects if you go someplace and have it done. So you have to try that one. Let's hear from Magi and Mongo for just a minute.
Do you have little ones that cannot imagine life without fast food? Or a sugary soft drink? Are you having a hard time convincing them that fruits and vegetables are delicious?
Eat your veggies or no dessert.
If you are, then you need Magi. Children fall in love with. Mongo did. When they met, Mongo was a couch potato. But that didn't last long with Magi around. Soon they were shooting hoops and guzzling water. According to Magi, water, H2O, I take it everywhere I go. Find Magi and Mongo books at Amazon.com or visit Dr. Norton's website, eatingdisorderpro.com. You don't want to miss this opportunity to help your child to a healthier, happier lifestyle.
And that brings me to the end of the show. Please keep the comments coming. We love to hear them. We love your feedback. We're trying to be responsive to the questions that you have been asking, and hopefully we are doing that. You can find the recipes for all of the things that we talked about tonight and the pictures and the names of the products that we mentioned you can just click on the URL right now and go directly to my website. But if you have any questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. If you have any recommendations or you know ways of improving these recipes, please let us know. That would be awesome. We would love to get your feedback and love to get your input. Some of the recipes that we use this evening came from the Wellness Mama website. A lot of them we made up ourselves, but that's a wonderful website. If you haven't ever been to it, be sure you check it out. I use her as a resource a lot. In fact, I'm going to try to get her on the show one of these days. She looks like she does some really good things. In the meantime, be sure to commit to be fit. Eat clean and live your life wisely. And thank you so much for joining us. Good night.